Well, we got a couple things. There's a couple things here we got to get onto. Well, we'll just get into it. It's the news, according to me. Hey, here we are. What is this? This is Thursday. It's Thursday. Yeah. All right. Here we are. Ouch, that hurt. We got Thursday, April 9th, 12:19 p.m. I'm a little late today. The goal was to get up super duper early this morning. I don't know why I've been sleeping so well lately. I mean solid. I've just been sleeping solid. Normally, I don't have to usually I don't have to take that much of that. I don't sleep that long. Typically, I don't. 6 hours is usually plenty for me. It's weird. I can usually sleep 6 hours and be fine. If I get a nap in during the day, it's even less than that, and I'm fine. It's a weird thing. You know, I've been watching this channel lately. By the way, it's Thursday, April 9th. You know, I already said it's 2026. I don't know if I said all that. I'm at the home studio this morning. For those of you who can't tell, I have ADHD. I think. I'm pretty sure I do. Because there's this one channel I've been watching for quite a while. They keep describing all these symptoms of people who have ADHD or this, blah, 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 they have this, they have that, they have this, blah, blah, blah. They do this, they do. And you know what? I have to admit, they pretty much nail everything. Just about everything. Today was one where they just rattled off a whole list of things. That probably, it fits. And what you think of as, well, there's hyperactivity. The hyperactivity thing, it's this weird combination of things. Because the attention deficit thing is a whole other issue. And it comes into play with a lot of things. Let me see if I can find this this thing under history. It was a short that I was listening to. I don't see it here now. Oh, that's not history. Here we go. Let's go down to history. We'll find it here real quick. Here we go. This is better. It's here somewhere. I think it's most frustrating thing about having ADHD. I think that's, I don't know if that's it or not. Is that it? A night owl. There's two things here. There's two things that they played. This one is pretty. I think this one of them was really pointed. It was very very much. I could relate to it. And unfortunately, I was kind of reluctantly saying, "Yeah, that's me." That's kind of where I'm at with that whole thing. It's just not something I'm thrilled about. Because it comes along with some things that are issues, and there are some good things. Having ADHD isn't necessarily that you're. It doesn't really necessarily mean you're stupid, which I think is kind of where I tend to align myself in the old stupid realm. But at the same time, that's part of the whole thing. That's part of the deal. These two things kind of pointed out pretty well. Anyway. All right, let's just move on. I've got plenty to talk about, and I won't want to spend all day. It's raining right now outside. I'm gonna try to get the yard mowed today. I don't know if it's gonna be the first yard mowing of the week of the year. It's a big event at our house, and today's my puppy's birthday as well. So for his birthday, I'm gonna mow the yard. But unfortunately, I don't have any kind of mowing right at the moment. It's raining. I'm not gonna mow in the rain. It's not gonna happen. It's supposed to rain on and off today, so I'm trying to get some mowing in during parts that it's not happening. I got some other things. I gotta get the trail mower. Gotta get out and mow the trail, which is pretty much cutting trail. The trail's not never been completed. I gotta get the trail done, which means I gotta cut a lot of small trees down. Got this little mower that I'm gonna use for that. Our old little mower. Put some new blades on it, and it's got a new motor in it as well. But it's going to be last year I put a new motor in that thing, and it runs really well. So now I have two mowers. One of them's a little bit larger. It's kind of the main mower for doing the big yard, and then I've got little trail mower. I can mow around the perimeter. The perimeter road, I call it, but it's going to be a, it's more of a track for running me and the dog. We're going to run on that track. So anyway, I've got some sweet tea. I did a little bit of a different thing this week. My wife and I were at Chick-fil-A yesterday. And stopped through, and we were going to get, you know, I got a sweet tea, and I thought, well, you know, they sell sweet tea in gallons there. And so she ordered her typical, you know, she got the salad thing. I was going to get a Cobb salad, but it's hard to eat when you're driving. So I got a regular chicken sandwich. And then she got the Cobb salad, or she got a salad. It wasn't the Cobb salad, it was Market Fresh, whatever it was, Market salad, whatever. It's similar to the Cobb. And it's the, she got that, and she got whatever she got. And then she got something to, she's going to get something to drink. She already had a drink, so she got a frosted lemonade, which is kind of a, it's almost like a shake. It's kind of a cross between a shake and a lemonade. They're very refreshing. It's not quite as heavy as a shake. It's just kind of a, it's kind of a creamy mix of frosted whatever and lemonade. It's good. It's good stuff. I can't, well, the fall is when I really like getting them because they have peach flavored ones, and I can eat those every day, all day long. But they didn't have that right now. So she got that. Well, so I ordered tea. Well, we were with the app because we're in line. We're in the drive-through line. So I used the app, which is a lot quicker, typically, normally. However, the other line got through faster than us. Beside the point, squirrel. I ended up buying a gallon. The gallon was right there. It was right there on the app. I pushed the button, and it was right there. So I got it, thinking, well, that way I don't have to make a gallon of tea. Now, it's more expensive. It's probably, I think it costs about $1 to make a gallon of tea, maybe a little more, $1.50. I think it's under $2 for me to make a gallon of tea, even with the sugar. It's about $5.50. It's almost $6 with the, they provide you with a jug, though, too. So that's, you get the jug and the tea. Got all that, and so now I'm drinking. So what I have in my cup here, I even have it in an official Chick-fil-A cup here. I saved my styrofoam cup to put the Chick-fil-A tea in. Now, I could put peaches. What I'm thinking about doing is putting some peaches in it and see if I can get it to peachify. Peachify tea. Peachify that tea. I might try it. I don't know. Could be interesting. Their tea is a little sweeter than I make it, actually. It's a little bit, slightly sweeter than what I make it typically. But I also have in my backup, or actually, this is my main cup, is some chai that I made. It's still hot, actually. I made it this morning. I went to breakfast with some guys that, they're all much, much, much older than I am. These guys are all old. They're all retired. I'm the only one still working in this group. We had a new guy today. It's been a while since he's been a part of the group, but there's usually just three of us there, four of us there today. Sailor friends of mine. They're, one of them lives actually over in La Porte area. Came into town. He does stuff over in South Bend area. So we had breakfast over in South Bend this morning. Another friend lives actually east of here. We're all dock buddies from. One guy just had to sell his boat. Doesn't have a boat anymore. He's a camper. He's going to go around the country. The other guy, actually two guys there. The other, there's only two of us that have boats now. Used to be all four of us had boats, and now there's only two of us because one guy has had some health issues. Couldn't have a boat really. Couldn't really be out on the boat because of issues that couldn't live on the boat. Couldn't travel with it. I mean, he can have a boat. He just can't spend. Can't be too far from shore. Can't go. You know, he was doing offshore sailing, and he was going to sail around the world. He was doing some of that, and then of course he had some health issues. Hadn't had any since he sold the boat, which is kind of telling, in my opinion. Maybe that has something to do with maybe that, you know, causation thing. I don't know. The other guy, they sold the boat. They bought a couple boats in their lifetime, and they finally bought one down in Grenada. I think they've sailed it all the way up to Lake Michigan here and sold it. And they ended up, you know, just kind of as an adventure type thing. Well, now they're traveling the country in a camper, and they still have a house that they'll spend a couple months on the road at a time in the camper, which is a lot of fun. And so they got that going on, and they're going to take another trip, I think, in the fall. They just got back from a trip. They spent about a month and a half, I think, or 2 months, something like that, traveling around. Now they've got something going on. this fall. We may do some traveling this fall. I'm not sure yet. Now, after a year from this November, I will be much more open. I'll be kind of in a retired state, semi-retired, with a lot more flexibility. I think we're going to start doing some little bit more traveling around, doing some things. So that's the plan. But right now, I have to work, and I have to do things. And I've got some time off. After this weekend, I have the rest of the month off, plus possibly some other time. But anyway, this I've got in my cup. So these guys got together this morning, and I actually made this chai before I went. But I put it in a insulated cup, and it actually is still warm. It's not as cold as it usually is after getting done doing my show at 9 o'clock. So there you go. All that to say that. That's all I got to say about that. I'm going to play this, see if this guy...
The most frustrating thing about having ADHD is being constantly misunderstood. I hate it when people call me lazy. I get it. I might look lazy when I'm lying on the sofa scrolling social media, but inside my head, I'm in a constant state of overwhelm. I know I need to apply for that job. I know I need to take the washing out of the machine. I know I need to send that invoice. I know I need to text my friend back. I know I need to check the oil in my car. I know I need to eat. I'm burnt out thinking about all the little things I have to do. I'm overanalyzing, overthinking everything, so I end up with decision paralysis and do nothing. I know you think having ADHD means I should be physically hyperactive. I should be able to do all of these things, but my hyperactivity is internalized, it's in my head, and it causes me a huge amount of anxiety and overwhelm. So please don't call me lazy. This isn't a choice.
Now, that last statement that he makes, this isn't a choice. Now, it's not a choice that you have it. It is a choice how you deal with it. Now, you can be disciplined enough, even though you have ADHD and you're overwhelmed with all this stuff, which I don't know that I necessarily always, I guess it is overwhelming. This is a part of where self-awareness becomes difficult because for me, when I feel overwhelmed, it's something else. But I don't know. I guess maybe it is my brain is overwhelmed. Maybe that's the issue. It is kind of a paralysis state. I know that I have a lot of things to do. Now, I can discipline myself to get some things done. I don't have to just sit there. One of the things that's very, very easy to do with ADHD is to start doom scrolling and just start scrolling through your phone. You can end up... I have this app I think Apple just comes up with it. It tells you what your screen time is for the day or whatever. It is shocking how many hours a day you can spend sitting and just, an hour goes by and all you've done is nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is a robbing, time robbing thing that will sneak up on you quicker than you can imagine. And it takes a serious amount of, I have to set a timer. If I start sitting down, typically when I do something like that, it's when I'm sitting in an airport waiting for a flight or doing something like that, I'm on a flight maybe, and I just download some videos and I kind of do some dead brain time. When I don't have a choice, I can't mow the yard, I can't do anything else, I can't work on my car, I can't do anything like that, so I just have to do that stuff then. When I'm stuck in a hotel on a rainy day or something like that. That's the kind of thing. But there's still other work I can be doing. There's computer work I can be doing. There's apps I can be building. There's all this other stuff I could be doing. And it's very easy for me to find myself, starting that scrolling thing. Now, I have to set a timer on my watch. I set a 30-minute timer. I allow myself to do. And I know when that timer goes off, okay, it's time to put that down. But I'm free to do it as long as I want to, until that timer goes off. I've learned to kind of discipline myself that way. There's different ways people can discipline themselves. But it's difficult. Self-discipline is not easy. And you can't make somebody do it. you have to want to do it, as an adult anyway. And I don't know if that plays into it or not. As we're growing up, we have somebody else telling us what to do at certain times. This has got to be done by a certain time. Or this, they make us do it and there's consequences to it. And it's... So it's imposed upon us. Once you're an adult, nobody does that to you so much. Well, unless you have a job. Now, if you're working for an employer, they impose all the deadlines and all the things for you. It becomes very difficult to impose that upon yourself. But that is what has to happen. It is a discipline that is difficult. It is very difficult. And you can't make somebody, making somebody do it doesn't change it. They have to learn it on their own. It is just a thing that you have to go through on your own. Now you can, you know, there's principles. There are things you can learn about self-discipline and about all those things that you can learn or be taught or be told or take, you know, you can try to train yourself. There's different techniques, but not every technique works for everybody. It's just, you can't just have one technique that works for everybody on particular things. Now I've got, let me see if I can find this other thing here because there was another one, that was, I thought was pretty good. Yeah, this is the night owl. This is another
people
one.
People with ADHD good. Like to stay awake later than neurotypical.
I can relate to this one.
And this has puzzled researchers for 20 years until now. They have recently discovered that the reason people with ADHD are often up late into the night actually has nothing to do with sleep, but more about the fact that the quietness of the night allows their brain to finally feel safe enough to focus. During the day, there's expectations, there's pressure, there's perceived threats. During the day, the ADHD nervous system is trying to survive, making sustained focus very hard. But at night, it's peaceful, the nervous system finally has time to relax, and the ADHD brain can get its best work done. The nighttime peace is quite addictive, so the ADHD person will then delay sleep because it finally feels safe. And this is called revenge bedtime procrastination. So the ADHD person will often be awake until the sun comes up, but we shouldn't feel shame about this. You're not lacking discipline. You're just chasing the calm.
Chasing the calm. This is an interesting concept. And I don't want to get too deep into this because I haven't even started the show yet. But this is very true. Now, I find it easier for me to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, if I can get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. It all depends on what my work schedule has been and what my body clock's doing. But I have found the late night time, it seems like, okay, everything's shut down. Nothing's happening. There is this closing in, this focusing in that I find happens late at night or very early in the morning before anybody else gets up. I find that to be an incredibly productive time for me. For a while, I was doing this thing where I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 or whatever it was. By 6 o'clock a.m., 6 a.m., or maybe it was 5 a.m., I can't remember what time it was I was getting up. I was going into my shop where I had a little recording studio, and I would go in and I would play. I would go on Facebook Live. And I would just do open worship. I would just do this kind of a worship thing where I would just play and worship for about 15 to 20 minutes a day. I did it every day, 6 days a week, or maybe it was 5 days a week. And it was good discipline for me, but it was also, I also found it to be very productive time because right after that, I would do my voiceover auditions. I was usually done by 6:30 or whatever, whenever it was. I would kind of do that for took me about 30 minutes to get it in there and get it in the can and get it put in. And then I would go do my auditions, and I would go back, get the dogs, and take them for a walk. Sometimes I'd take the dogs with me, but I'd usually go back, get the dogs, take them for a walk, and I'd go back in. And by that point, I would usually have some auditions or some jobs, some voiceover jobs I needed to do. So I was kind of spend half the day doing that. Then I'd go back and do whatever I needed to do for the rest of the day. I find the early morning time to be an easier time for me to focus and get job done. Now I can do the same thing at night. If I know I don't have to get up early the next morning, I can work well into the night, way into the night doing stuff. Very easy for me to do. So that this part of it, now during the day, there's a lot of things going on. And I think part of that, you have like a sense of, your sense of focus expands beyond normal human activity. Your awareness of what's going on around you is way big. Part of that hyperactivity thing is that you are super aware. If I sit in the front of a classroom to take a class, for example, I am extremely distracted by sitting in the front of the class. I found this out when I was later on in life. When I was going through high school, I would sit, you know, wherever the teacher would tell me to sit. We usually had assigned seating, but it was not always. Some classes, there wasn't assigned seating. In the classes where there was assigned seating, there was usually good discipline within the classroom, and I could usually focus, and there was this intensity to the teaching that I typically did well. For instance, I had straight A's, never missed a question in seventh grade math. In eighth grade math, I barely made it through. I had two different teachers. There's no difference between seventh grade math and eighth grade math. I almost failed eighth grade math, and I had straight A's in seventh grade math. What is the difference there? The only difference was the teacher. I found later on in life that if I sat in the back of the classroom, I was not distracted by everything that was going on in the room because I could absorb it. I could take it in. I knew what was happening. It was in front of me. It's almost more like I'm observing class. Now, if you really want to do really well in class, for me to really excel in class, if I sit on the side of the class looking at the class and observing the class, almost like halfway, 50% of the way, and slightly elevated up and looking at the class with the teacher off to my right-hand side and the class is off to kind of more on my left side or kind of watching the class, observing the class being taken by I do extremely well in that kind of a situation. I have found when I'm in a class, I typically like to be off to one side and I turn my chair. I like to be off to the end of the table or whatever it is that we're on, whatever we have there. I try to turn my chair so that I can kind of see everybody in the room and I can see the teacher and I can observe the class being taught. For some reason, for me, that works. I take it in because I don't feel like I'm the focus of having to do something or having to learn something. I'm watching the class and I'm learning by observing other people learning. It's the weirdest thing. I can't explain it. But I do extremely well doing that. There was a real estate class I was taking to get my broker's license at one point, and I did that. I did extremely well. And I'm not even interested in real estate, and I did very well in that class. I took another class. It was a yearly thing. I'd take this upgrade thing. They were changing the rules in Indiana, and I had to take another class. And it was, I was in the middle of the classroom. It was kind of a different situation, different instructor, and I had a very difficult time. I made it through it, but it was a struggle. Anyway, that's the kind of thing that happens in that situation. Now, having said that, that's all I'm going to talk about right now. There's so many more things about ADHD that I could talk about. The one thing he says there at the end of that one thing about the it's not a choice. It is a choice how you respond to it.
People with ADHD.
Anyway, we're going to get on with the show here. I'll take this quick little interlude, and we're going to start talking about some. We got some video, got some audio for you to hear. There's some interesting stuff going on. We're going to go right from there.
According to me, oh, it's the news, the news. According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news,
it's the news.
It's the news,
it's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Oops, happy birthday, Uzi. I forgot to turn my microphone back on. Happy birthday, Uzi. Today's my dog's birthday. He's 2 years old today. He's Uzi, just like the machine gun. Uzi. That's his name. In a world where one man with his dog. Yeah, that's me. I got this dog. Anyway, he's an awesome dog. He's really cool. Anyway, I like him a lot. Perfect fit for me. Drives us nuts sometimes, but he's perfect fit. They both kind of drive us nuts. But anyway, they drive each other nuts and they drive us all nuts. Everybody's nuts here. We have, except for my wife, of course, she's perfectly sane. I think she was getting a little testy this morning. The dog was kind of driving her crazy this morning, I think, a little bit. Between me and the dog, I think she's, yeah, we kind of make her crazy. Anyway, sometimes be like that. Sometimes we have lots to talk about. We have this thing going on. Let's see if I can find Dan Goldman. I'm going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that later, maybe tomorrow. There will be a show tomorrow. I do have to get out the door a little later in the day tomorrow. Hopefully, I can get up in time and get the old show going. get everything wound up. I think tomorrow, what is it we're doing tomorrow? Anyway, there's an interesting thing here happening between Lawler, this guy named Lawler. There's this new legislation out there. I want to talk about this a little bit. This new legislation, apparently, that they're trying to pass, it's some kind of an Immigration Reform Act. And I don't know why. Every time there's immigration reform, it seems like it always involves amnesty of some kind or something of that type, something crazy like that. And that's kind of where we're at with this whole thing. This crazy Lawler here, this almost sounds like lawless. I think it's a 5-year, if you've been in the country for more than 5 years, and if 10 years, I think there's something, there's all this legislation, it's this, all these rules, and Laura Ingraham is going after this guy. Now, he's a Republican. They're saying if you can prove that you've been in the country for 5 years, then you get to some kind of a special deal, and then if you have 10 years, it's something else. You can self-deport. Of course, you get paid to self-deport. You get a free plane ride home plus money, like $1,000 plus whatever, to get out of the country. And then you can legally apply to come back in. If you are caught here illegally, then you end up you can't come back in. You're then, you know, banned from being here ever again. Of course, there's no way for you to get in here because the Democrats would never allow you to come in. Or they're just going to change the regime. They're just going to change the rules. That's the rules right now, but they're going to change the rules because it's not in the Constitution. And of course, I think they voted on. Have they come up with a ruling on birthright citizenship yet? I'm not sure if they've actually gotten through that whole thing yet. My thinking is that they nixed it. They were sounding like they were going to nix it. I don't think the ruling has actually come down. It might come down today or tomorrow, maybe. I don't know. See how it goes. This guy wants to do this. Well, and of course, the question is, how do you know someone's been here for 5 years? Well, you have to be able to prove you've been here for 5 years. Well, how do you prove that? You might have been here 10 years ago and you left again. And then I was here. See, I've been here for 10 years because I could have a receipt from this restaurant with my name on it. I paid for it with my credit card. I was here 10 years ago. You were just here for a vacation for a week, but you can say you've been here for 10 years. How are you going to prove that? I don't know if I can prove I've been here for 10 years. So it's one of those things. You're going to have an agent literally going through all this stuff, going through all this paperwork and investigating each and individual. You have millions of people here who are illegal. And you're going to tell me how are you going to go through all those people? If you had one a day or two a day, how many days would that be? Especially the way the government works. Well, let's find out. Let's see if I can find my calculator. Where's my calculator at here? Find this stuff. It's got to be here somewhere. Let's just pull it up here. Calculator. Pull up my calculator. We have, say we have 1 million people. 1 million people. And it takes, you can do two in a day. Well, that's 500,000. Let's say you can investigate two in a day because you got to vet these people. That one agent can do two in a day. So that ends up being 500,000 people, 500,000 days. And let's say you work 250 days a year. It's going to take you. It's going to take that one agent 2,000 years. One agent's going to take 2,000 years to do 1 million people. 2,000 years. Oh, my gosh. In other words, it's never going to happen. That means You know, a little simple calculations, a little. If these senators, these congresspeople, whoever these people are coming up with this crap, would just pull out their calculators right there on their phone and do a few numbers. All right, so let's say that you have 1,000 agents. So let's say you have 1,000 agents that can each do two a day. Let's go back here. Let's go back to some other things here. Let's go to 1,000,000. And then let's divide that by, what would I say? So let's say you have 1,000 agents. That's 2,000. You could do 2,000 a day. It's going to take you 500 days, over a year. Actually, 2 years. It's going to take you 2 years. 1,000 agents, 2 years to do 1,000,000 people. And we've got about 10 million people estimated to be being here. So it's going to take 5,000 days. Which is going to be 20 years. It's going to take 20 years for 1,000 agents to go through 10 million people. This isn't going to work. Now, you might say, oh, they can vet them out faster. They can do more than two a day. I don't think so. Have you seen how they work at the DMV and how they work in different places? Two in a day is probably, that's probably pushing it. One day they might even not do that. An agent probably will work with, you know, now they might work with 100 people at a time. It's going to take them a month to get through those 100 people or more. So that's the kind of math we need to be doing. There might be 1,000 people in process at one time, but it took them over 8 months or 9 months to get those 1,000 people processed. That's what I'm getting at. It might be in the process, but the process takes 8 months. You're not getting them done in one day. I'm saying you're accomplishing two a day or whatever it is. So, okay, so that's where I'm going with that. Now, let's listen to this guy. It's very telling because he gets caught. Ingram kind of catches him in the middle of this whole thing at one point. Let's find out here. We can do this real quick. And she asked him this very question. And, of course, he really can't answer it. She gets
number two, what we are trying to do is say, if you have been in the country for more than 5 years, in other words, if you came here during Joe Biden's administration, you don't qualify.
How do you determine that?
You don't
that?
Qualify under this legislation.
All of this so sounds great.
It's
answer
very clear.
A simple question.
It's very clear. You have to be in the country before 2020.
Shut up, dude.
Yeah, you have to be in the country before 2020. So anybody
person.
Who came.
Please.
Yep.
All right. Please determine. Please tell my audience, because they're very smart.
Yep.
How does an immigration officer determine millions and millions of people, determine continuous presence and tell me
millions of people
the considerations they take into account to determine that?
Well, look, if they cannot prove that, if they cannot prove continuous presence, they wouldn't qualify for this.
But how do you prove? She's rolling her eyes. How do you prove it?
That's
the whole question. How do you determine it? How do they prove it? And how do you trust what that's talk about fraud. That'd be an easy fraud thing to do.
You have to be able to meet the qualifications of the program.
That's why I said he was.
This is DeVore Jarkins is the one who's, I don't know if he plays any more of this. I think he does. I think he continues on with this. Let's see what else we had to say.
You know, analysis that is subjective and a barn door wide enough for people to roll through for past crimes.
They do full background checks.
Full background check. How do you do a full background check on somebody who's been completely off the grid for 5 or 10 years? Full background check. Yeah, a lot of these people are born without records. You don't even have a birth certificate for some of these people. How do you, they can do a background check on me all day long. I get them all the time for security purposes. You can't do a background check on somebody who's living in the shadows. There's no background. There's nothing. There's no evidence. Oh, I got a full background check. This is just baloney. Now, I'm not at the point where Mark Dice is right now. Mark Dice, he's going down the road. I'd say he's crossed the line, in my opinion. He's saying anybody who's brown and has an accent should be deported. He's just tired of it. He's tired of it. I get it. I understand why you're tired of it. But at the same time, that's a bridge too far. Whatever you want to call it. That's a lamp too bright. Whatever you want to call it. I don't know. That's a shed too sharp. Whatever. That's a tool in the whatever. But this is, I don't like this. This is not good.
It's just crimes and continuous presence in the United States. So family unity, public interest, other humanitarian concerns. So the admissibility includes broad waivers. That's a major problem with this.
I don't know why they keep doing it that way.
You probably aren't in favor of that, but it's, full background checks.
No, look, you have to do a full background check, inclusive of criminal history. Gang affiliation is not waived. What it is saying is the presence of somebody in a database does not automatically assume that they are part of a gang. But the bottom line is all of that would have to be reviewed.
How about multiple DUIs?
And it should be.
How about multiple DUIs?
That should be included. I have been arguing for years that DWI should
be included. It's not in the legislation. Yeah. It's not in there.
Last 2 years ago in my district where a illegal immigrant.
He's fighting for something. He's saying something. Well, that should be in there. It's not in there. He's arguing for something he doesn't even know what it's about, which is what's very frustrating about this whole thing. He's all about this. Oh, it's legislation. It's not good legislation. And I think if the American people knew about it, they wouldn't put up with it. They wouldn't allow it. At least not people on the conservative right side of anything, anyway. It's just crazy time. Crazy talk. Crazy stuff, I must say. That's all I got to say. It's been 37 minutes. We've had a show for 37 minutes. I could talk a lot about ADHD, too. A little bit too much about ADHD. There were some things in... Larry with Larry O'Connor. That's the name of his channel. Brilliant. Had a brilliant piece on some stuff that was going on with the whole thing with Trump and what was going on with the way the left was. Their heads were exploding. I might just play this. The beginning of his show here. Let's see what I got here. I'm just going to play it, see where we're at with this thing.
Then he does the Easter egg roll. He does a press conference, he was unhinged. Yesterday we showed you how Democrats and their friends in the media were completely unhinged about President Trump. They went through this roller coaster journey of emotions about the president and his social media posts and his intentions with regard to Iran. First, he had to be removed via the 25th Amendment because he was unhinged and mentally incapacitated.
Yeah, that was the first thing they were talking about. He's unhinged and mentally incapacitated. He had 25th Amendment. 25th Amendment. Gotta get him out. Then,
this, by the way, a day after they claimed that he was in Walter Reed Hospital.
Yeah, just the day before, they were saying he was in Walter Reed Hospital in treatment on his deathbed. He's about to die. He's barely able to survive. The next day, I'll let him talk.
Then he does the Easter egg roll. He does a press conference, puts out some posts, and gives an 8 o'clock deadline, threatening the increase of military force against Iran if they don't reach a ceasefire agreement.
Of course, that's war crime. That's a war crime.
Then an hour, and they were all calling for Nuremberg trials. Yeah. They were calling for the military to disobey orders. They wanted to arrest him for war crimes. We detailed this all for you yesterday. Then, 1 hour before the deadline, the president announced that they had reached an agreement for a two-week ceasefire.
And now, it's Taco Tuesday. Trump chickens out again. Trump always chickens out. Trump always chickens out. So that's their taco thing. It happened on Tuesday, of course, Taco Tuesday. Trump always, he's just a chicken. Now he's just a chicken. Oh, he didn't annihilate Iran. He didn't annihilate our civilization. So now he's just a chicken. You don't understand. When Trump puts this stuff out there, it's not for us to hear. It is for, it's all about negotiations. He comes out and says, well, we're just going to have to annihilate them. They're going to be gone. Sad to say, I don't want to do it, but we're going to have to start taking them out. We're just going to blast them back into the Stone Age. Oh, and then an hour later, they come out and say, wait a minute. Guess what? We're going to talk. Let's talk about it. Now, of course, part of this is that they want to have a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is to resupply. That's part of their issue. They always do this. Oh, let's have a ceasefire. Hold it. Wait. Safe. I'm safe zone. No trackbacks. Then you kind of get your breath, and you take off again.
Which you would think would be good news for the people who were afraid of Armageddon. Not. Instead, they used that news to attack Donald Trump, mock him, taunt him, and call him a chicken.
Yeah, there you go. That's it in a nutshell. I'm not going to play the whole thing here. I'm going to go through the whole thing. But very interesting segue that he was doing there into the show. And it was that's where they went. And he goes through to document all this stuff and talk about, and he actually shows video and audio of all this stuff. It's fascinating the way the left works in the way or doesn't. That's kind of the way things happen with them. It's very old after a while. And now you've got, in my opinion, we've got a lot of I don't even know if they're rhinos. You know, now people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, she all of a sudden discovered this all new because Trump kind of pushed her out. He realized she was a little bit off hinge, a little bit. Now, I kind of liked her because she was willing to say what she thought, and she was kind of, but she kind of went off the deep end, and she kind of course, she got pushed out by the Trump administration. She thought she was going to get an office position. She didn't get anything. And she, so then she kind of turned on Trump, much like what Tucker Carlson has done, what Candace Owens has done. I would say there are some others that have done the same thing. Talked about that a little bit yesterday, I believe. And at the same time that all this is happening, we have people who are well, for whatever reason, they're jealous or whatever it is. They have started to creep over on the side of the left. Of course, then the left gives them accolades, gets them to they encourage them. Oh yeah, look at this. Even this person, even Tucker Carlson is saying he's crazy. Even Alex Jones is saying he's crazy. All of a sudden, they have credibility. And five weeks ago, you'd have thought that they were the devil themselves. But you know, can't believe anything Tucker Carlson says. Can't believe anything Alex Jones says. Can't believe anything Marjorie Taylor Greene is just crazy. And all of a sudden, they're giving them credibility and credence. I do not understand. Well, I do understand. What blows me away is that people on the right don't call this out more often when we see it. Now, I'm not saying you have to walk, absolutely do not walk lockstep with everything that Donald Trump says. That's not what I'm saying. You can disagree with the guy. But that's fine. And that goes right off. He would not hold that against you if you disagree with him. He's okay with that. As long as you're on board with the program. I'm on board with the program, but I think this is the wrong step here. But I think we could do this, but we should be doing it that way. Whatever you want to do, but that's at the end of the day, it's your choice, it's your decision to make, and you have to respect it and move on. That's just the nature of the beast. That's just the way it is. He's the one in charge. And it's now with Joe Biden, that was not the case. You just tell Joe Biden what to do, and that's what he would do. Well, they're all yelling at me saying, I got to do this. Everybody's telling me I got to have to do this. I've turned this microphone off. I'm not supposed to answer any questions. They won't let me answer any questions. I'll get in trouble. Now, you're the president. In your world, in your little kingdom, in your part of the political sphere, whatever. You are the king, according to them. You're the high lifted one, high and anointed, lifted up. The left will coronate anybody that they deem to be, on their side. It's just anybody that's on their party that you can do no wrong. I keep hearing people on the right saying how Gavin Newsom doesn't have a chance. of being the presidential candidate. Once they go through the process, if he's the only one out there who's putting up any kind of popularity, I guarantee you he will be. They will think that he will be the most perfect person on the planet. He's much better than anybody else on the planet, according to the Dems. And they will all follow right along with that. Just the way that works. But here we have it. This is the... Then you have people on the right, I would say on the right. I've never really... Now Tucker Carlson is an interesting character. I've never really felt... I'm going to be honest with you. He has always kind of seemed a little bit like a poser to me, almost like a phony. When he talks about Christianity, and there's a lot of pundits this way. I know that, what's the guy's name? Sean Hannity. I don't know. I know that he's been in some Christian films. I know that he is basically he calls himself a Christian believer. I know he's funded some things and been behind some things that are Christian oriented stuff. Now, at the same time, I also know some things about his personal life. And I struggle with that. There are several other people out there who claim to be, you know, Christian people who are believers, whatever. They have some kind of, I think that Tucker Carlson, I think is he Lutheran or something? Or I don't know what he is. But he's more of an Orthodox something. I don't know. He's more of a, you know, he goes, I don't know. To me, it seems like it's more about religion for them. It's that's what it's more about for them. I guess that's what I'm going to try to say. But I'm not going to. I don't want to sit in a place of judgment with them. I just want them trying to discern where they're at. And that's fine if they're where they're at. That's in their peace with that. That's none of my business. But it's kind of one of those. You know, it just seems kind of phony to me sometimes the way these people act, and it's. But then you get people like, you know, that are politicians who claim to be operating certain biblical principles within their lives as well. And I don't know what they, you know, the persona that they pose in public is different. And sometimes I just get this creepy feeling about some people. In fact, there was a thing about ADHD people and how they read people as well. Sometimes it's kind of interesting how that, I'll play that tomorrow. Anyway, it's kind of a long show. It was a little bit longer than I expected it to go, but I guess we'll just have to weasel our way out of it. Tomorrow's show. Well, let's just go to the tag at the end here. That's what it all amounts to.
What's wrong with you
there,
people?
There you go. That's it. We're going to be back in just a minute.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news. According to me.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for being listening to the show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning, I think. Call the show, text the show, 574-651-7685. If anything else you'd like to ask or say or comment on. I usually just get junk mail and stuff from there. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but numbers are up and down on the show. Don't know what's going on with that either. We're going to get one day where you get certain number of hundreds of people, and then you get another day's, you know, down less than that, and another day's higher than that. It's just weird. It's all over the place. But let's just take a moment, go to the geographic stats, and just kind of talk about it. Which, since I may not get a chance to do this tomorrow. Oh, there's another one. There's a new one. Ecuador. Huh. Peru, of course. All right, Chile, Peru. There's Peru. A couple in Peru. Brazil, of course. South Africa has always been there. Australia. What's that one? Vietnam. Vietnam is an interesting one. There's a whole bunch of people in Vietnam in the past 90 days. Or past 30 days, I'm sorry. Bangladesh. Welcome aboard. We have Italy, of course. What's that one right there? It's Jordan. Oh, Jordan. Interesting. Azerbaijan. Welcome aboard. Canada's got a bunch of all of a sudden. I talked about them last week, and maybe they heard that, and they just said, hey, we got to jump in there and get on part of the show. Ireland, UK, Ireland, Finland, of course. Finland, Netherlands, and Germany. Italy. I already said that one. France, of course. What's that one right there? What's that one? Portugal. I think I already said that. Interesting stuff. We got all this interesting stuff here. And Brazil, if I didn't say that. Yeah. New Zealand. All these interesting places. Jumping in there. Anyway, that's all I got about the show today. We have lots of things to talk about for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be Financial Friday. We're going to have some things. Got some other things I'm going to talk about. Probably going to play a little bit of a... I don't know. Maybe I'll set up another one of those. Let me know what you think about those, the little podcast within a podcast where I take the videos of some financial guys and I kind of make another little podcast within it. Might do that little demonstration with that. And tomorrow we'll also have the AI folks calling in with some comments. We're going to set that up for tomorrow about financial stuff. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, but we'll get into that a little bit more of that as time goes on. Now, once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for participating, liking, sharing, subscribing. In the meantime, I will be back hopefully tomorrow. God bless. I will see ya.